Good afternoon, everybody. We are back with Sha'arei Teshuvah. We're on page 18, page Yudchet, Ot Lamed Bet. So the last thing that Rabbi Yonah was talking about was the fact that if the detriment of being a Ba'al Tava, if a person is too in touch or too indulgent in his desires, so that is the root of all evil, because Tava and Gaava go together, and also it has a side effect in that people don't like to be with him because he's so self-centered and so egotistical that nobody likes to be his friend. So we're in an Ot Lamed Bet. Ve'ot im matzeh lo to'elet b'shabero ha'tava ha'gashmit. Another benefit in breaking physical ta'avot, ki im tish'alenu ta'avato dvara b'li'al v'avira, yidaber libo. You know, some of our ta'avot are not forbidden. Many of our ta'avot are. So when those forbidden ta'avot crop up, and it starts kind of, you know, tempting him to do the avira, person will be able to tell himself, "Hin behetelu amalet avati ve'ech eshlach yadi beisur." If a person controls his ta'avot all the time, so a person is able to tell himself, "One second, even when it's mutar, I don't always indulge in my ta'ava. Now, when it's forbidden, you want me to do it." So you have, you know, you're able to stand up to your ta'ava when it's an isur. Now, again, not to say that it's asur to indulge in ta'avot is another very important thing. Like I said, in the world of ta'avot, some are mutar and some are asur. Just because something's mutar doesn't make it a mitzvah to do. There's a famous Ramban in the beginning of Parashat Kedoshim. Famous machloket between Rashi and the Ramban. What exactly the words Kedoshim to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to be holy. So Rashi says very clearly that Kedusha is a reference to Prisha Meha Arayot, meaning abstinence from Arayot. That's why the Torah puts them back to back. The end of Parashat Acharemot speaks about the Arayot. Beginning of Parashat Kedushim comes to teach you, says Rashi, that separation, that abstinence from engaging in Arayot is the definition of Kedusha. That's Rashi. The Ramban quotes that. The Ramban disagrees with that and he says, what is Kedusha? He goes through a whole discussion and he says that it has to do Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lach, which means that even when things are mutar, not everything that's mutar do you have to act on. Not everything that's mutar is necessarily a mitzvah. That's why, you know, the ancient Romans, they used to have these parties where it used to be called an orgy, where they used to sit there and eat and eat and stuff themselves. And when they were stuffed, you know what they did? They threw up so that they could eat more. It was just this pursuit of, you know, we've spoken about this last time, just because something's mutar, you know, 24-hour lavish, you know, you go to these programs, and I'm not bashing programs, I'm just saying, just because there's a 24-hour tea room, just because there's food on demand all the time, you know, for 8 days straight, what, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to keep on indulging that. Yeah, you understand? That's not, and we've spoken about last time that in the world of from Judaism, there's not a lot of kosher forms of entertainment. They don't exist too much. You're basically limited to two things. Well, that is true. I'll get back to that in a second. But most people, I'm talking about physical enjoyment. Now, interestingly enough, learning Torah can also be physically enjoyable. I'll explain to you how in a moment. But you're basically limited to food. That's big, you know, in the Jewish world, you have food. Every you open up a Jewish magazine or Jewish newspaper, whatever, every other ad is about some sort of food. And then you have music. Food and music. That's basically, we don't have anything else, basically. Yeah.
Is music really mutar, though?
That's a different sheer. I have no problem, going down that path. If you really want to know, we can go through the sugya. I have multiple shiurim on that topic. But let's assume for a second that it is, which not, and you know, I wouldn't be so mistaken to say that not all Jewish music / kosher music is created equal. Yeah, you have to understand that too. Just because it has Hebrew words doesn't make it kosher or Jewish. You understand that? Yeah? Understand that? What? Know what I'm saying? What's it called? It looks like it's coated with cornflake crumbs.
Yeah.
Chaco. Yeah. Vadai? Now. Don't eat the lettuce. Anyway, b'kitzur.
So,
huh? It's who? Oh, really? No way.
I thought we said maybe that.
Oh, that's good.
I think that sour.
Excellent.
Sour, though, are
tonable,
and maybe the rest of them are just positive.
Kol hakavod. Kol hakavod. You asked for them?
Yeah.
כל הכבוד, שלך.
איתן,
זה טוב. When you want to get something done, you ask איתן to take care of it. They'll do it. נכון? בקיצור, you know, in America, you say if you want something done, you do it yourself. Over here, we say if you want something done, send איתן. Anyway, בקיצור, רבותיי, so that's that. Just because it's, you know, wow, kosher food, kosher music, doesn't necessarily make it a mitzvah. You have to know how to kind of take a step back. Torah, there's a famous hakdama. You ever heard of the Egel Tal? Egel Tal is one of the... Huh?
Sounds good.
Yeah, well, it's a very famous sefer on the Lamed Tet Melachot of Shabbat, written by a Gaon of Nenezin, the Gaon Misachachov. Tremendous Gaon. So one of his shelot tuchuvot is called Avnenezer, and his sefer... Psakim on Hirot Shabbat is called Egletal. So in the Hakdamat, Egletal, I totally have this pet peeve for Hakdamot. So over there he writes that even though we don't learn Torah in order to get Hana'ah, because mitzvot lav lehanot nitanu, but he says a normal side effect, if a person's learning Torah and doesn't have that enjoyment, there's something wrong. We don't learn Torah for that. We don't learn Torah because it's, you know, it's fun. It's a wonderful intellectual pursuit. We learn Torah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, and it's Kem Chayinu Baruch Hamenu. But part and parcel of learning Torah Be'atmada is that a person feels that, he feels that, that gishmak. So that sometimes is not only a spiritual enjoyment, that sometimes can even traverse into the physical element too. It can make your whole life, your physical well-being, your mental well-being, your spiritual well-being, all much better as a result of the Torah. So, Lamed Gimel says Rabbeinu Yonah, "Ve'ot timatzeh b'shvirat ha'tava to'elet rabba ve'atzuma." Another unbelievable benefit of breaking one's ta'avot. Ki yegale b'tzad libo v'tuv chevtzo l'tshuva, ki hu mo'es ha'teva asher garam lo achet, u'baze yitratzeh l'Hashem yitbarach v'imtza chen b'einav. As a result of break, how do we get into this discussion of breaking ta'avot? He said this is a necessary component of chazara b'tshuva. The whole point of breaking ta'ava is to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, the ta'ava is the nature, the physical nature that brought me to sin to begin with. And if a person is able to overcome that and break it, it shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I am repulsed by what caused me to sin to begin with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how I'm protecting myself from sinning again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes that, and he finds favor in his eyes. So that's part of the Kabbalat HaTshuva, is the fact that a person does this. וכן כתוב, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, זבחי אלוהים רוח נשברה, לב נשבר ונדקה, אלוהים לא תבזה. It's a famous pasuk in Tehillim, that what's the best korban that a person can offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a broken spirit, a broken heart. Now he explains, רוח נשברה, what does it mean, what does a broken spirit mean? היא הרוח הנמוכה והנכנעת. It's a person's lowly and subjugated spirit. It's a reference to after the avera. ולב נשבר, that's a broken spirit. What's a broken heart? Al shvirat ta'ava agashmit. A broken heart is not like they say in the Western world, oh, you broke my heart, which means you hurt me. That's not what it means. A broken heart, according to David HaMelech, is when a person's able to break his ta'ava. Ki ha-ta'ava netuna ba-lev. Because ta'ava is rooted in a person's heart, כמו שכתוב, ta'avat libo natat alo. We call it the ta'ava of the heart. So when you break your heart, what does it mean to break your heart? Breaking ta'ava. ובמזמור התשובה נאמר המקרא הזה. This פרק, it says it in the פרק of תשובה, זבחי אלוהים רוח נשברה, לב נשבר ונדקה אלוהים לא תבזה. He says, למדנו מזה כי בעל התשובה מתרצה להשם בשבירת התאווה הגשמית. We become more beloved by הקדוש ברוך הוא, and he accepts our תשובה more when we're able to break this תאווה. וכי זה מעיקרי התשובה, like we said, this is one of the primary components of תשובה. ועוד, נאמר בעניין התשובה, להחיות רוח שפלים ולהחיות לב נתקעים. הקדוש ברוך הוא, when he sees that we break ourselves in that way, הקדוש ברוך הוא uplifts us and kind of breathes a spirit of life into us to bring us back up. That's Hashem reciprocates our feelings, our downtrodden feelings, and our feelings of breaking ta'ava. He comes to us and he compensates with a spirit of holiness. Says למדלת, next פרק, ואמרו רבותינו זכרונם לברכה, כל מי שיש בו שלוש מידות הללו, הוא מתלמידיו של אברהם אבינו. Famous Mishnah in פרקי אבות. A person who embodies these three מידות is obviously a תלמיד of אברהם אבינו. What is it? עין טובה, a good eye, ורוח נמוכה, a low spirit, ונפש שפלה. And a lowly soul. Now he explains. Inyan nefesh shefala. What does it mean to have a lowly soul? She'eno holech achar ta'ava gashmit gam bidvarim amutarim. Huge. Not only does he not follow his ta'ava to do averot, but he doesn't give in to his ta'ava. There's people who give in to their every whim. If it's an isur, so okay, fine. He has his yetzirah tov curbing him. Hopefully, yeah. But if it's mutar, you see some people, he says, you know what, my yetzirah tov is not getting in my way here because it's mutar, go for it. And he always gives in to his permissible ta'avot. Nefesh shefala is the kind of person that even when the ta'ava is mutar, he knows how to curb himself.
What's so bad about giving in to the mutar ta'ava? Is that going to lead to bad?
You're training yourself to give in to every whim of ta'ava. And it starts with mutar. And so first of all, there's two components. Number one is that if you do all the dvarim ha-mutarim, that's a lack of kedusha. And we have a mitzvah to be kadosh. Kadosh means you don't have to do everything. You know, there's a word in Lashon HaKodesh called prishut. You know what prishut means? Abstinence. Take a step back from all the, whether it's eating, drinking, you know, sleeping, ta'avot. Take a step back. You know, you don't have to indulge every little thing. That's number one. Number two, if a person gets used to it, it's terrible chinuch for a person, for himself. If a person gives in to every ta'ava that's mutar, you become accustomed to becoming a ba'al ta'ava. And once you're a ba'al ta'ava, and you feed your body with every desire, that's eventually going to lead, like you said, to ta'avot of isur as well.
So somebody really goes his entire life just giving into the mutar stuff, which I guess we're saying it's not really possible. But like if somebody just
And he never does an isur.
And according to Rashi, where kedusha doesn't necessarily mean the mutar law, so then...
He's still a Baal Taiva.
Right.
Still a Baal Taiva. He didn't necessarily do an Isur, but his Midot are rotten. And based on what you're explaining, that scenario, it's almost impossible that it's not going to lead to Averot. It's not, it's Kim'at Nachayach, because that's the progression. Now he says, how do we know, where's this Midah from curbing Mutar Dika Ta'avot? Where do we get that from? We said, Mital Midav Shel Avraham Avinu. Where do we see Avraham Avinu did that? Kamo Shematzinu Sheamar Avraham. הננה ידעתי כי אישה יפת מראה את, כי לא נסתכל בה עד היום ההוא להתבונן על תכונת יופיה. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a Gemara. Rashi got it from Gemara, and the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu, why is it, הננה ידעתי? How old was Avraham at the time, when he went to Mitzrayim? It was the same year. It was a few months after he left Haran to come to Eretz Yisrael. Immediately upon coming to Eretz Yisrael, there was a hunger, and then he went down to Mitzrayim. How old was Avraham Avinu when he left Haran to go to Eretz Yisrael? 75 years old. That's the first. We see Avraham Avinu coming on the scene. The Torah just, I mean, there's Midrashim and stuff, obviously also, but the Torah itself only starts talking about Avraham Avinu's life at age 75. In the Torah itself, in Torah Shebichtav, we know nothing about Avraham Avinu until age 75. And he passed away at 175. So the Torah only really describes in depth 100 years of his life. The first 75, we don't know what happened. So now, let's assume Avraham Avinu was 75, 76 years old. Avraham Avinu got married to Sarah at age? The Midrash says, 25. Yeah, Avraham Avinu was 25, which made Sarah? Come on, people, timelines.
15.
Exactly. Avraham Avinu was 10 years older than Sarah, because we know that Yitzchak was born when Sarah was 90, and Avraham Avinu was 100. There are some perks of learning Rashi, and I stuff. Anyway, Bekitzer. So Avraham Avinu was 25 when he married Sarah. She was 15. What other, besides for being husband and wife, was there any other existing relationship between them? He was her uncle, right? She was the daughter of Haran, Avraham Avinu's youngest brother. Or not younger. The youngest one was Nahor. Anyway, Mikol Makom, if he got married at 25, and the earliest Mitzrayim could have been was when he was 75, what does that mean? That they were married for 50 years at the time, and on their 50th anniversary, Avraham Avinu says, "Wow, you're so pretty." Can you imagine? Turning to your wife on your 50th anniversary, and for the first time, I'm sure he told her she was pretty, before then, but he never really looked at her. And this was his wife, mitzvah. By the way, don't try this at home for shalom bayit and stuff. You know, I'll tell you, you're pretty on your 50th anniversary. You know what I'm saying? Aval zelo. Understand the kedusha v'tahora of the avot and imahot kedoshim. It's unreal. And you see, even though she was completely muteret to him, it took him 50 years to actually look at her. Avraham Avinu was the king of curbing his permissible tavot, says Rabbeinu Yonah. You see that? And he says, "Ve'amru rabotanu zochar mivracha b'ma shekatuv, v'tihiena tzerurot ad yom mutan al menut chayut. B'chol yom haya David mitzave lehetiv et roshan v'noten tamrukin lekashetan kedei leatzik letavato lachnia kasher yichbosh yitzro mehen. Leman yitkapel lo advar bat sheva." David HaMelech had certain concubines, yeah, and he made them made up and whatever, and he did that. He made them up and gave them jewelry, and they were all pretty, so as not to be with them, so he could overcome his ta'ava every day, so he could be mitkaper for what he did with Batsheva. Ha'ikara asiri, lamedhe, the 10th component of teshuva. Lehetiv pe'alav bedavar asher zada'alav, which means, this is what we call, there's a famous concept in teshuva called teshuvat hamishkal. Ever heard that concept? Teshuvah, what's mishkal? Weight, scale. So, what does teshuvat hamishkal mean? To offset what you did by doing the opposite. Meaning, now he gives, the Kaf Chaim actually brings this down as, in halacha l'ma'asen, siman tarfei shuvah, for teshuvah, he gets it from Rabbeinu Yonah. Le'etiv pe'alav b'davar asher zada alav. Im yistakel ba'arayot, itnaheg b'shachut einayim. If a person's sin was looking at arayot, a person should train himself to control his eyes. Im chata b'lashon hara, ya'asok b'torah. You sinned with the tongue, you spoke dvarim asurim. Now again, lashon hara, the Chafetz Chaim has a whole sefer about it. Just because you spoke lashon hara, okay, I'm going to fix all the lashon hara that I spoke by speaking speaking divrei Torah and divrei tefillah. No, it doesn't work that way. You still have to fix the lashon hara by going to ask mechila v'chule v'chule. But after that's all done, still part of the tshuva process is training your tongue to speak dvarim mutarim, to speak dvarim shel kedusha. Uvchol ha'evarim asher chata yishtadel lekayim b'hem ha'mitzvot. Any limb or organ that you use to be chote, you should use that to fix the avera that you did by doing mitzvah with that limb. Now, not only that, the Ba'alei HaMusar say, they take it actually a step further. Not only using the limb or the organ or the body part that a person used to sin now for a mitzvah, but to actually take it a step further, which means, for instance, if a woman, not to say that tzniut doesn't apply to men, but let's say a woman, for whatever reason, didn't dress b'tzniut, and now she's chozeret b'tshuva, and now she wants to dress tzanua. So obviously, step one of her teshuvah, tshuvat ha-mishkal, is what? That she dressed not tzanua, and now, to offset that, she dresses b'tzniut. Excellent, that's the way it should be. But then, we go a step further. What else does she do? She should try to bring this message of tzniut to other women as well. To encourage other women to keep tzniut, to give shurim, or do something in order to kind of encourage others to follow suit. If a person, and it could be for men as well, I'm just giving Stam an example. Whatever it is, it's not only to fix ourselves, but to bring the message to others. That is the epitome of teshuvat ha-mishkan. Yeah? And he says, hala. וכן אמרו רבותינו זכרם לברכה, הצדיקים באותו דבר שחוטאין, בו הם מתרצין. צדיקים, the same way they do the עבירה, their teshuva process is exactly in reverse. Yeah, נכון? You put the car in drive, you want to fix it, you did something wrong in drive, put it in reverse, and do the same thing the other way. עוד אמרו, אם עשית חבילות של עבירות, עשה כנגדן חבילות, חבילות של מצוות. If you did packages of עבירות, חבילה is a package. Do even more packages of mitzvot. Raglaim memaharot larutz lera'a, yu ratzim lidvar mitzvah. Yeah, you recognize this phrase? Raglaim memaharot larutz lera'a, al chet shechatanu lefanecha. Raglaim memaharot larutz lera'a, one of the al chet, you know, the al chet shechatanu lefanecha that we say on Yom Kippur, follows the order of the aleph bet. Forward, backwards, and then other sedarim as well. But for Resh, it says, "Biraglaim emaharot larutz ra'a." So if a person sinned with his feet by running to Averot, what do you do now with your feet? Run to mitzvot. By the way, that's why the mitzvah, it's, I mean, you have to know how to be balanced about it. Shulchan Aruch brings down. It's like Gemara in Masechet Brachot that when a person's on his way to tefillah, there's a mitzvah that what? Run. You're supposed to run to Beit HaKnesset and Beit HaMidrash, and when you leave, walk slow. So you have to know in the morning. Sometimes it doesn't really necessarily mean to actually, you know, sonic boom through the street. You know what I'm saying? It means to walk fast. I had a friend in Yerushalayim, a friend of mine from Kollel. He didn't care about his, you know, because sometimes a person's running through the street like a meshugana, so people look at him like he's weird. You know what I'm saying? This guy, he did it. Mamash lekayim, he was such a yirei shamayim lekayim divrei chazal. I remember in Yerushalayim, in Har Nof, in Rehov Agassi, I remember seeing him in the street every morning, running to shul, like a dash, you know, like finish line kind of, running. Lekayim mitzvat chazal.
Should you drive fast also?
No, because that's dangerous. Yeah, so that, don't do that. Not only that, the Gemara tells us that once a week, you know, but when a person walks fast or if a person runs, it has a bad effect on one's eyesight. The Gemara says that when a, yeah, so you lose, the Gemara says at the end of Masechet Pesachim, that you lose 1/500th of your eyesight every time you run fast or you walk fast. Psiagasa. When do you get it back? On Lel Shabbat, when you look into the, in Kiddush Ve'Avdalah, when you look into the Kos Kiddush, it's brought down by the Poskim, you're supposed to look into the Kos Kiddush and look at your reflection, and that restores the eyesight that you lost during the week. Yeah.
It's not looking at the candles?
No.
Is that
no.
Kabbalistically?
No, it's brought in the Gemara.
Yeah. Looking at your reflection in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
The Rambam brings this down also.
Yeah. It's a Gemara, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. Vadai. Now, so it's a mystical thing, obviously, because we know there's nothing physical about looking into a Kos Kiddush and getting your eyesight back. You know, there's nothing medical about that, and that's not like LASIK. But what? But you know, Chazan says that that's how it works. So they say it. We believe it, yeah.
I remember reading in the Or LeZion also.
Tov.
You were saying that.
It's always a good idea. Yeah? Okay.
For the best way to do Tshuva, the Or LeZion also sounds like he's saying that.
We're in Chochmah Musar?
Yeah.
Okay.
That it's always good to the highest level is to double your learning. To learn like a da, to learn two da.
That's 100%. Torah is mechaper on everything. Torah is the greatest form of kapara ever. 100%.
Yeah.
But besides for that, you have to rectify the area that you did the Avera.
Yeah.
And rectifying that, Torah is wonderful. But even if you're doing the Torah, you still have to rectify what you broke.
Yeah.
So in this area of the sin, you have to fix it. A, do the opposite. Plus, try to bring the message to other people. Lishon shaker, emet yegechiko. If a person spoke lies, you have to teach your tongue how to speak emet. Ufiv yiftach bechokhma v'torat chesed al lashono. They're all psukim. Yadayim shofchotam. If a person's hands spilled blood bar minan, patoach yiftach et yado leichav la'aniyav. Use those hands. Open up your hands to tzedakah, to chesed. Einayim ramot. Looking everywhere, you know, looking at inappropriate things. Yidaka v'shach einayim. Lower yourself and lower your eyes. By the way, it's halachan shulchan aruch all the way in the beginning. Maran says, how's a person supposed to walk in the street? First of all, you're not allowed to go bekoma zekufa. You can't go with a upright posture with your head up. Posture is supposed to be straight, but what? Lower your head. Your back's supposed to, you don't have to walk like a hunchback. Walk straight, but head down and eyes down. Look where you're going, obviously, but number one, you won't see things that you're not supposed to. I have friends also. Again, this is a high level. I have a friend who's almost legally blind. His prescription is like 7-something, like really bad. When he walks in the street, he takes off his glasses and he just goes. And that helps for Shmirat Enayim. You know, I've seen him bump into stuff before, but you know, it's a high level. But even if a person's not up to doing that, keep your eyes down. It helps for Anava. It helps for not looking at Dvarim Asurim. It's a tremendous thing. Lev Choresh Machshavot Avin. If a person's heart and mind think about inappropriate thoughts, Belibo Yitzpon Imre Torah. Hide Divrei Torah in your heart. Mull over that. You know, it's a mitzvah to aseh min haTorah. Uvlechtecha vaderech. Mitzvah to be learning when you're sitting, learning when you're standing, and when you're walking. Think of something. Think of a sugya. Think of I remember, Maran Zichron Livracha, when he got older, so his doctor, Professor Stesman, he told him that for his health, he had to take a walk every day. So I guess it wasn't so practical for him to actually go on a walk. So they got him a treadmill. They bought a treadmill and they brought it to the house. This is when he was living in on a kaplan with his son Rav Moshe. So they bought a treadmill, brought it to the house, and every night they would tell him to take a break from his learning and go walk for, you know, half an hour or whatever it is on the treadmill. Okay, and he did it because, you know, it's a mitzvah to keep your health. So he would do that, and the whole time he was mumbling on the treadmill. So Rav Moshe Yosef, one time he put his ear next to his father to see what's he mumbling. And he was going, as he was walking on the treadmill, Mishnayot Ba'al Peh. He used to go through Masachtot of Mishnayot Ba'al Peh. Mishnayot, the whole time. No, it's exercise time. It's not exercise time. Exercise time is time for Uvlechtecha Baderech. That's the way you do it. Yeah. I exercise, I try every day. I have 45 minutes to an hour. That's when I take my shaylos. I have my the shaylos that I take. I have 2 hours a day that I answer shaylos by phone. 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. It's during that. That's my shayla time. It's, you know, it's turning the mundane. You know, exercise is a very especially exercise is important. The Rambam speaks about it in Hilchot De'ot, but it can also be taken to the other way. You know, it can be taken as a totally physical and vain thing. So you have to learn to be mekadesh. You know, I don't know if there's such a thing. I know such a thing exists in Landers, but in America they don't have too many of these options. In Eretz Yisrael, when I was living there, they had something called the kosher gym, which was a gym dedicated only to men. And I remember going there, and there were rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kolins over there. There was in the gym. It was a full, not like a basket, not like a gymnasium, a gym with machines and weights and treadmills and like a full gym. There's a daf yomi shir there every day. Every day, you see Rabbanim Rosh Yeshiva, you take a sefer, you put it on, or you put headphones and you listen. Some people have some people need to listen to music while they're running or while they're, okay, shamati. You put on a shir, try to be mekadesh, the mundane. That's what our lives are about, taking the mundane and sanctifying it. That's our lives as Jews, that's what it's about. Shamata mani omer? That's the way to do it. Lev choresh machshavot aven, bilibo yisponi min haTorah, vihi hagut libo tevunot. If a person was guilty of causing fights among people, what should you do? What you engage in? Try to bring shalom to people. Look for people who are fighting or people who don't get along or whatever, and to bring shalom between them. These are all examples of Teshuvat HaMishkal. Bezat Hashem will continue next week. Rabotai, nice to see you. Shabbat shalom vorach. Kol tov. Hatzlacha.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to go.